All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 8. God is absolutely sovereign. And that means that nothing in this earth happens without God directly bringing it to pass. No matter how big or small, no matter how good or evil. God said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is sovereignly bringing glory to His name by delivering His people to serve Him. He says here in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And God is sovereignly bringing glory to His name by sending strong delusion upon His enemies. That's what's typified in the frogs. Verse 2. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And then God is sovereignly using His enemies to glorify Him. Verse 8 says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that He may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And Moses said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought up against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, and out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, as we look into this passage and we see God bringing glory to Himself as He pours out judgment upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, that gives you and me assurance that today, right now, everything that's happening in this world, God is doing it to glorify Himself. Everything. First of all, God is sovereignly bringing glory to His name, because everything He's doing to set His people free that we might serve Him. That's the first cause why God's doing everything in this earth, is to bring glory to Him in delivering His people so that we might serve Him. He said there, the Lord spake to Moses, and He said, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Now Pharaoh was in a very powerful position. So powerful that he was able to keep all the children of Israel as slaves in bondage. Now, he's a type. We've seen this. He's a type of Satan and his seed. He's a type of the devil and wicked spirits and wicked false preachers and wicked men who follow such. Yet Satan and his seed are no match for the sovereign God of glory. They were raised up so that God might glorify His name. God has, and He is, and He shall set His people free. And we all shall serve Him. Now, God has a people. They're His elect people. And God shall deliver His people and shall set us free. First of all, Christ set His people free in righteousness. He did it by His righteousness. That's the first thing that we talk about when we talk about our deliverance. Christ set us free by His righteousness. God is holy and righteous. That means that His law must be upheld. His law must be honored. Justice must be carried out to perfection. And so God will not show mercy unless His justice is honored. That's the only way He'll show mercy. Well, the soul that sinneth must die, the Scripture said. Scripture says God will by no means clear the guilty. So how then can God be merciful and honor that word? How can He be merciful and honor that justice? The only way God could do that was for God Himself to provide the Lamb and He by Himself justify His people and uphold the law. And that's what Christ came forth and did. On the cross, you behold the positive side of the law and the negative side of the law being fulfilled. The negative side of the law said the soul that sinneth must die. The wages of sin is death. And so Christ, the Son of God, went forth and took the sin of His people upon Himself and took the place of His people and bore divine justice in our room instead. And by that, He fulfilled that negative side of the law. And His fulfilling that negative side of the law was His fulfilling the positive side of the law. Because the positive side of the law is, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And you and I, nor any other sinner, have ever done that, nor can ever do that, in the perfection that God demands. But on that cross, Christ did it. And He did it by laying down His life for God and for His people. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so, before God, He is God's righteousness. He's the only one God will receive a sinner in. We have to come to God through faith in Christ. And to every believer, He is the Lord our righteousness. The only righteousness we have is the Lord our righteousness. That means we can't say that we've added to that righteousness by our law keeping. Our only righteousness is Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. And the second way He delivers us is through the work of sanctification, which is giving us a holy heart. Because we come into this world corrupt with a deceitful nature, and we can't be freed from that bondage by any work we do. And so Christ, in the day of His power, He just like He sent forth Moses and Aaron, He sends forth His preacher declaring, thus saith the Lord, preaching the word of God, the gospel of Christ. And as that word's going forth, Christ prays the Father, and the Father sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit regenerates His child and gifts us with faith in Christ and repentance from our dead works. And in that day, in that hour, for the first time, we're delivered from the bondage of sin. We're able to believe on Christ. We're able to behold that He alone is our righteousness, and it's because of God is Christ made unto us righteousness and sanctification. Christ is both our sanctifier and our sanctification. That's why we don't glory in making ourselves holy or say we make ourselves more holy. That is what Christ does when He calls us and regenerates us and puts a new nature within us, created in His righteousness and His holiness. That's when you're holy. So that's the deliverance He gives us from deliverance of righteousness and deliverance of holiness. And one day, He's coming again, and He's going to deliver us fully, finally, completely, forever from this body of death, from this world, into His presence. And so everything He's doing right now in this world is for the glory of His holy name in the deliverance of His people. Everything you see happen today that's evil and wicked, and you scratch your head and you wonder what God's doing, and you don't understand what God's doing, now you know He's delivering His people and He's bringing glory to His name. That's what it's for. Everything, good, evil, small, big, that's what it's for. Now, secondly, God is sovereign to bring glory to His name by sending strong delusion upon His enemies. He said in verse 2, He said to Pharaoh, "If thou refuse to let my people go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs." And He did it. Now, Satan and any man that refuses to let God's people go shall incur the judgment of God. Because those that do so don't believe God. They don't trust God. They don't believe God. We see here that God's bare sovereignty in the fact that He sent these frogs physically, literally. Everything that God has created is at His disposal. That's why He's called the Lord of hosts. The whole host that He created is His to use as He will. And He does, just like He used these frogs. But notice, God glorified His servants, and He glorified His gospel by using Moses and Aaron to bring this plague through the rod of God. That's how He brought this plague. He did it through the rod of God, which is a picture of the gospel being preached. The Lord, verse 5, spake to Moses, and He said, "Say to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt." All judgment that comes upon men is for one reason. They refuse to bow to God and believe on Christ. They refuse to believe the gospel of Christ. That's why God pours out judgment on men. That's why He does it. If men will not glorify God by believing the gospel of Christ, God will make it so that they're hardened in their sin and they can never believe on Christ. It's called reprobation. Turn with me to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. These frogs are a type of wicked spirits, false preachers, and the corruption that they bring about, the corruption of the natural heart. This is how God sends men strong delusion. Revelation 16:13. I saw, John said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That's another way of saying He's sending forth through these devilish spirits strong delusion to reserve men for the day of perdition, for the day when He will judge them in righteousness and cast them in outer darkness forever. That's the great day of judgment. And God uses false preachers to do this. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Here we have a description of Jannes and Jambres. They were the magicians that imitated God's true preacher in Pharaoh at that day there before Pharaoh. Their names was Jannes and Jambres. They were magicians, and they imitated God's true preacher. And they're the false preachers that we see God using. Now, here's a description of them. Verse 1, "This know also that in the last days," which the last days started when Christ came. The last days have been going on since Christ came. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, Hebrews 1 tells us. So we're in the last days. "In the last days, perilous times shall come." Now, here's a description of these false preachers. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," that means uncontrollable, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What are we supposed to do with men like this? Are we supposed to try to look in the Scriptures and find Scripture that we can refute their arguments with and go to battle with them and try to prove them wrong? Is that what we're supposed to do? Nope. Verse 5 says, from such turn away. Turn away your ears, turn away your attention, turn away, turn your back to them, and don't listen. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. That means that silly women is just another name for the false church, Satan's seed. It's a silly woman. And led away captive, laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But, because God's sovereign, He's using them, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all God's people, as theirs also was, as Jannes and Jambres was. Now, that's what God was doing there, using Jannes and Jambres. He was in control of Jannes and Jambres. Now, one of Egypt's idol gods was a frog. That was one of their idol gods that they worshipped, was a frog. And so what you have here with these frogs coming up, they're puffed up, they're dirty, they're a symbol of the proud, puffed up, arrogant, unclean spirit, which defiles a man. That's what they represent. And it's a thorough defilement. These frogs were everywhere in Egypt. You could not go anywhere without coming in contact with these frogs. And this defiling spirit, it defiles everything about a man and everybody he brings under his influence. And so in sending these frogs to overtake Pharaoh and overtake Egypt, we have a picture of God sending a strong delusion to men so that men believe a lie. Does God really do that? Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So now get the lesson here. When we see men reject the gospel of Christ and go after lies that appear to you and me to be so delusional, you don't understand, how can they possibly believe the things they believe? When you see that happening in this world, sometimes it'll be loved ones, sometimes it'll be folks that you thought were brethren, and it's hurtful, it's sorrowful, but when you see it, understand this, God is sovereignly bringing that to pass. He's bringing that to pass, and He's working it in justice to glorify His name and save His people. Romans 9:17 says this, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth." God's doing it. God's in perfect control. Never think, when you see such things happen, never think anything is happening out of the control of our sovereign God. He's bringing it to pass. Now, thirdly, this is the last thing. God is sovereign to use those enemies to bring glory to His name. Even the enemies that reject Him and appear to us like, we just can't figure out what's going on there. God's using them also to bring glory to His name. Notice here, when God's judgment frightened Pharaoh, and that's all it was. He got afraid, he got frightened by this judgment that had come to pass. And so what that did was that caused him to falsely repent. Judgment doesn't bring a man to repentance. God may use that in conjunction with His goodness, but Romans 2 says it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. It's God showing you Christ and showing you your sin in our Lord Jesus Christ that brings men to repentance. Judgment won't do it. You preach hell and show scary movies and just scare the daylights out of people and make them repent and make a profession, and all they've done is made a false profession. Because God, it doesn't. And there's proof of that in the Scriptures. It talks about God sending judgment and men in hell won't repent. They won't repent. That rich man in hell, after he heard the word come forth and say, they have the word of God, he still kept saying, no, no, send them somebody from the dead. They'll believe him. Judgment won't work repentance. God's goodness does. But look at here now. When God frightened Pharaoh into this false repentance, Pharaoh didn't call Jannes and Jambres to help him. That was his false preachers. That was his magicians, his sorcerers, his religious men. He didn't call them to help him. He called God's messenger and asked God's messenger to call on the true and living God. Look here in verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I'll let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Why didn't he call Jannes and Jambres? He knew those men were fakes. He knew those men were phonies. Anybody could cause the frogs to come up and fake that. God had already worked it. So when they faked it like they were doing it, it was God that did it. They didn't do it. But when he knew they couldn't make them go away, it was God did it. God did it. So God made everybody see that Pharaoh acknowledged that God is the only true God. God worked that to make everybody in Egypt see Pharaoh, acknowledge God's messengers, and acknowledge the true and living God, and call upon him. And then, in his sovereign power, he gave Moses wisdom to see through Pharaoh's phony repentance. And look at verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. You want this done, Pharaoh? Here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go out tomorrow and stand on your ledge and before all the people in Egypt and tell them Moses is God's messenger. Not these fellas. Moses is God's messenger. And so God used even his enemy to bring glory to his messenger when Pharaoh had to glory over Moses, or else God wouldn't work this. And so he did. He went and gloried over Moses. And then, by his sovereign power, God gave Moses the wisdom to say, Pharaoh, now right here publicly, you set the time that you want these frogs to disappear. And that way, everybody will know the Lord did it. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. And Moses said to Pharaoh, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, and they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. See, everybody was brought to see by Pharaoh's own word that this was worked at the exact time that Pharaoh said he wanted it to happen, so that they would know there's no other Lord but the Lord our God. He used Pharaoh to bring glory to his name. And then, in his sovereignty, he used his enemy to glorify God using Pharaoh's fake repentance. Look at verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So everybody there in Egypt knew that Moses and Aaron were God's true messengers. He used Pharaoh to declare it. They knew their God was the true God. He used his enemies to declare it. They knew that their gospel was the true gospel. They used their enemies to declare it. And God showed that without God granting repentance to a sinner, he cannot repent and turn himself to the true and living God. He can't do it. And all of this, God showed everybody, all of this came to pass exactly as God had before said it would. So everything about this, God in his sovereign power used his enemies to glorify Himself while He's saving His people. Now, brethren, let me tell you this. I know that our hearts may be broken. The days may appear very dark. There may be times when we just are at a loss for what is happening and why it's happening the way it's happening. We might see the lies as being delusional, but understand this. Everything is coming to pass right on time by the direct hand of our sovereign God. And everything that's coming to pass has been purposed from eternity, and it's all bringing glory to God's name. Everything. God's freeing His people to worship Him. God is sending His enemies strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and God's making His enemies glorify Him even in their delusional state. Now, knowing that, we can rest easy. God's in full control. God's in full control. His people shall be saved, and Christ shall receive all the praise and all the glory according to God's eternal purpose. You can rest right there. That's a soft pillow, a soft bed to rest in. God is totally, absolutely sovereign. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord God, we thank You that we do not have to worry or be troubled by anything we see coming to pass in this world. You are on Your throne. Make us to remember this. Make us to know and be thankful for Your free deliverance, free justification, free righteousness in Christ. Make us rejoice that those that believe a lie and are turned over and hardened do so by Your hand. It's not out of Your control. Make us rejoice, Lord, that You're using even Your enemies to bring glory to Your name. And make us do the same. Make us not sanctify the enemy and sanctify the troubles and by our fear and our sorrow over these things. Make us sanctify You. Make us see You as holy and separate and in complete control, working Your eternal purpose. We thank You, Father. We praise our Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that You hear us in and by Him. Amen.